Is back up there playing for us too, amen. And I appreciate her stepping in there and doing that. If she didn't, I was going to have to tap dance up here, and I didn't want to have to do that during the middle of. No, I'm kidding. Some of y'all, I don't know. We got to wake up this morning. You got you an extra hour of sleep last night, didn't you? You all still ain't awake. Listen, let me say this. We're going to be in Psalm 20 this morning. I'll let you turn there. Psalm 20, right there toward the middle of your Bible. But as you're turning there, let me just say this. I thought a little bit this week, I really considered, you know, trying to put out a prayer line call or something out there to say, remember to fall back. Remember to set those clocks back. And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I thought to myself, you know what? No, this is the good one. This is the real good one. Because if you don't do it, everybody shows up for Sunday school. And so I went ahead. I didn't put out anything out there. I didn't try to remind anybody with the hope some of y'all might accidentally wake up an hour early this morning and come on over to church. but I say all that then to say this. We always have Sunday school, 10 a.m., church, 11 a.m., and there is a class for you and a place for you where you can learn the Word of God and be able to fellowship with one another, and even on weeks where we don't get an extra hour of sleep. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me today? You in Psalm 20? All right, let me give you a little information here, and we'll get into the reading of God's Word. Psalm 20, of course, is one of the many Psalms of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And in this psalm, it is believed that David was going through a great tribulation, a great trial at this time, and he is speaking from the point of view of a man who, on the outside, appears that he will not survive. He will not make it. And yet, I want you to see what David had to say on the inside. I want you to see this morning what David cried out to the Lord when he was in a time of great distress. The Bible says here in Psalm 20 in verse number 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of standing to preach the Word of God this morning. Lord, may I never take it lightly. May it never become ordinary. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to do a spiritual work, to be able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. And Lord, I pray now during this time that you'll guide my thoughts, guide my words, that I might only say those things which are well-pleasing unto thee. And Lord, I pray for the hearers as well. Lord, if there's anybody here lost that needs your salvation, I pray this morning they might come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, deal with that heart. But Lord, I pray for those who are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray you might draw us into your holy presence. Lord, that we might leave out of this place rejoicing and glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us now. We're in a dark place in this nation. Lord, we're in a dark place in our history. But Lord, I believe it, even in that time of trouble, we can cry out unto you and we can trust you to provide and protect your people. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all, and for His sake. Amen and amen. I believe with this being the week where we will be electing the next president of the United States, I believe it's only fitting that we say a few remarks regarding what we as Bible-believing Christians ought to do in relation to politics and our government. I realize full well this morning that most of you, like me, you're pretty sick and tired of hearing about the election. Amen? I believe most anybody in here, you're probably already saying to yourself, oh no, the preacher's going to get into politics. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just say this. I'm not going to go easy on either candidate, and I'm not going to go in and support either candidate this morning, but I am going to preach what thus saith the Lord. And that Bible has a lot to say about government, and it has a lot to say about the political sphere. And there are certain things that we ought to do, certain responsibilities that you and I have as believers when it comes to our government. First and foremost, I believe we ought to pray for our government. As a matter of fact, we ought to pray whether we agree with them or not, whether we like them or not. We ought to pray for each and every elected official up there in Washington and over in Nashville and throughout this country. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, you and I as Christians bear a responsibility to pray for our elected officials so that we might live a quiet and peaceful life and serve the Lord with freedom. Amen? But we shouldn't stop there. Not only should we pray for our elected officials, but I believe we ought to obey our government too. Now, I don't like that one any better than you do, but the Bible does make a point to say that we ought to be good citizens as believers. We ought to not be rebels. We ought not to be stirring up strife and stirring and rioting and things like that. We ought to be the best citizens and have the best testimony of any group of people in the United States of America. Hey, Jesus said on one time, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. The Bible tells us that the God of heaven, the God of that Bible, He ordains the powers that be. He sets up kings and brings them down. And if we can trust Him, then we can be obedient even in the midst of a very wicked nation like the one we're living in today. And so I believe we ought to pray for our government. I believe we ought to obey our government. But then I want you to get a hold of this, and this is a very important one. When our government crosses the Bible, when our government crosses the Word of God, it is better to obey God rather than men. In other words, when the government comes in and says you've got to marry two men, it's better to obey God rather than men. Hey, when the government comes in and says it's all right for a doctor to abort a baby just prior to its birth, it's about high time we learn to obey God rather than men. Amen? And I'm saying to you today, friend, we ought to pray for our government. We ought to obey our government. But our first responsibility is always to the Lord and always to that Bible. And yet we're living in a strange time, aren't we? I believe, just like I prayed earlier, I believe we're living in some dark days. Here in about 2 days, on Tuesday, we will be voting, or some of you and myself included have already voted, to elect the next leader of this nation, the next president of the United States of America. And I don't believe there has ever been such a dark and hopeless election in all of this nation's history. Now, some of y'all aren't going to like this very much, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. On the one side, you've got Hillary Clinton. She supports allowing a baby to be murdered in its mother's womb just hours before it would be naturally born. Murderer. She's a murderer. She's a woman. She has committed open and apparent treason against this nation, both in Benghazi and through her emails. She's a wicked Jezebel, if there ever was one that walked across the face of this nation, and yet she stands able to be elected as the highest office in this land. What a shame that is. But lest any of y'all get a little high and mighty, can I just say the other side ain't looking very good either? Amen. On the other side, we have a man who has literally been in pornographic magazines and pornographic videos. A man who has openly bragged about committing adultery against his wife. A man who has stood up and said that while he does not support abortion, he would not end it in every case. I'm telling you this morning, friend, our choices are looking pretty grim. Our nation is looking pretty hopeless. Don't y'all get upset at me. Hey, listen, if one's deserving of a little criticism, the other one can take some criticism too. I'm saying to you this morning, it doesn't look very hopeful in our nation. It doesn't look like we're going to make it. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to survive. But as God's people, we hold a hope that this world simply does not hold. You see, David said here in the 20th Psalm, there in verse number 1, The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. He comes down in verse 7 toward the end of this chapter. And he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I want to say to you this morning, friend, I can have the same peace in my heart. I can have the same joy about me on Wednesday morning as I have right now. I can have the same joy and rejoicing deep down in my soul as I had the day I got saved. I can have that on Wednesday morning, no matter who gets elected president, because of the hope I have in the Lord. Amen. And so this morning, with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you very quickly on the subject this morning. I want to preach to you here very quickly on my hope come Wednesday. My hope come Wednesday. Now, as I mentioned to you before, David here is preaching at a time that appears to be very troublesome. It appears to be very hopeless. It doesn't look like he's going to make it or he's going to survive. By the way, David went through many of those times in his life. I think about David as Saul sent the spies to take him and kill him as he lay in his own bed. I think about the time that David sat there playing on the harp for King Saul. And about that time Saul took a javelin and just about pinned David to the wall with it. I think about all the times as David and his followers were wandering around in the wilderness with Saul chasing close behind them, claiming he would kill David at a moment's notice. And yet David, going through all of that, with all of that hopelessness surrounding him, he still said, some trust in horses, and others trust in chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord. Now, I want to make one thing clear to you all this morning. Some of you all in here, the reason you're so tore up and so afraid and so frightened regarding this election is because you've got more hope in the president than you do in the Lord. Hey, can I just say one of the reasons some of y'all, I don't want Hillary Clinton in that office any more than the next man. I think she's dirty and rotten and corrupt as anybody could possibly be. And yet, even if I wake up on Wednesday morning and I find out Hillary Clinton's the next president of the United States of America, can I go ahead and just say this? I ain't going to get down. I ain't going to be down and out. I ain't going to quit on God. I'm not going to worry if God had His way. I'm simply going to say my hope is in Him. Others trust in presidents. Others trust in their money. Others trust in their might. Others trust in their friendships. Others trust in their military. Others trust in their government. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, friend, I believe as Bible-believing Christians, as born-again children of God, our hope ought to be in something far greater. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen. And yet, as I got to thinking about that thing this week, it occurred to me that there are several things about the Lord that give me hope. There are several things I've got to look forward to as a child of the King that cause me to have hope on Wednesday morning, just like I can have here on a Sunday morning. Amen. You say, well, what do you have hope in? Well, first of all, I have hope in His salvation. Now you say, well, preacher, is it really His salvation or is it our salvation? Well, I understand that it's the Lord saving sinners like you and me. But can I say this morning, if it's your salvation and it's my salvation, we're in a world of hurt. Because if I'm the one's got to hang on to Him, I'm going to let go. If I'm the one that's got to keep myself saved, I ain't going to make it. If my righteousness is what's going to get me to heaven, then I will surely wind up in hell. And yet if it's the Lord holding on to me, if it's the Lord saving me, if it's the Lord who birthed me into His family, then it's His salvation. I know some of y'all say, well, preacher, that's just semantics. I want you to look here at what David said. Look right there at verse 5 here in Psalm 20. He said, we will rejoice in what? Thy salvation. He didn't say we will rejoice in our salvation. He said, Lord, we will rejoice in Thy salvation. And I want to say this morning, I can rejoice today just like David rejoiced back then. I can shout and sing praises to God today just like the psalmist sang back then, because my hope isn't in me. My hope isn't in this nation. My hope isn't in this world. My hope is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's in His salvation. It's His. You know what old Paul said over there in the book of Colossians? He said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that may not mean a lot to you, but that means something to me. That means I'm dead as a hammer. Morgan Lester's done away with. Hey, the day I took Jesus as my Savior, I was nailed to that cross. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm dead, and yet He's alive. Amen. And yet you say, what about that verse? He said over there, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, if I had to hide my life, Brother Gary, if I had to protect my life for eternity, I wouldn't make it very far, would I? But thank God this morning, it's His salvation. Thank God this morning, He's the one who does the saving. Can I go ahead and just say this morning, I didn't have hardly anything to do with it. All I did was sin. All I've got in regards to salvation is I committed the sin that made it necessary. And I believed on the Christ that died in my place. But when it comes to salvation, He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that did the drawing. He's the one that did the saving. He's the one that's keeping me saved. Listen, I don't have anything to glory in. It's His salvation this morning. And I can have hope in it. I can have hope come Wednesday because my hope is in His salvation, brother. You know, that's the problem this world has always had with Bible-believing Christians. I mean, you go back there and you study history, and you'll read about the communist regimes, and you'll read about the Catholic regimes, and you'll read about all these different groups that persecuted God's people down through the ages. Amen. I mean, listen, by the way, some of y'all, you're getting all worried about this election, saying, well, what's going to happen? They might persecute us. Your forefathers, your Baptist forefathers, and your Christian forefathers, they've always been persecuted. Amen. We've only been fortunate for a very short time to be excused from that persecution. We better be ready to stand up and serve the Lord regardless of it. Amen? We better quit trying to preserve the American dream and the American way of life and start learning to preach the gospel whether they like it or not. Some of y'all men up here, I appreciate y'all shouting and liking it. Some of them, they're kind of bowing up on me here a little bit. Some of y'all, you're saying, well, hold on just a minute. The message I'm preaching ain't God bless America. The message I'm preaching ain't preserve the American dream. I'm not trying to, you know, put a microwave in every house and have everybody. That ain't it. I'm here to preach the gospel of the grace of God. I'm here to preach that Jesus saves sinners. And it's about high time Christians quit worrying so much about making this world more comfortable to live in and started making sure people are going to heaven and getting out of this world. Amen, amen, and amen. And yet I say all that, I'm getting off here. I'm going to have to get back on the subject. You look back at Christians through the ages, always persecuted, always getting their heads lopped off, getting hung, getting burnt, getting hunted down, getting dunked in the river until they were dead, watching their families have to be tortured so that they would deny Christ. That is common amongst God's people, historically speaking. And yet, there's something that they never could do to a Christian. They can't take what a Christian's got. You know what? When the old conquistadors would come down there and they'd put their spear in the face of those Aztecs, they could take that Aztec. They could take what he had. They could take his little images and his little gods that he bowed down to. They could take his priest and kill him, and his priest would be gone. Hey, friend, when they go down there, when they go into some of these churches and places, they can go in there and they can take their robes and they can take their books and burn them, and they can take their preachers and their priests and burn them, but you can't do that to a Christian. You can take this Bible and burn it, but I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against him. Hey, friend, you can take me and put me in a jail cell, but I can still get a hold of God just as good in there as I can not there in my closet at the house. Hey, friend, you can take this church and burn it to the ground and tell us we can't meet here anymore, but you can't take us out of the body of Christ. And you can condemn me and excommunicate me and curse me to the day you die, but you cannot take my salvation. Amen. You say, why? It's His. He's got it. He's holding it. He's responsible for it. I say to you this morning, friend, I've got hope no matter what happens in this world. I've got a hope. You say, why? Because I've got hope in His salvation. But that's not all. I've got hope in His Scriptures too. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, can I tell you what that doesn't mean? I'm going to get back in the message here in a minute, but this requires a little bit of explanation. What that does not mean, it does not mean every Bible is the Bible. Amen. It doesn't mean that everything that claims to be Scripture is Scripture. You've got to test that thing and study that thing and make sure it's the Word of God. Amen? Because the Bible said there are many who would corrupt the Word of God, who would pervert the Word of God. And so you've got to be careful about what you call Scripture. And yet, can I tell y'all something? Now, this ain't to lift up Morgan Lester at all. I'm nothing. I'm about as dumb as a mule when it comes right down to it. But can I just say, by the grace of God, I know where the Scripture is. I ain't trying to track down the earliest Greek text. Amen. I ain't worrying too much about going down and learning Masoretic Hebrew so I can go read the original documents, as the scholars like to call them, even though there ain't original on this earth anywhere that you could ever put your hand on. Some of y'all ain't getting it. Some of you getting a hold of it. That's why I ain't sitting up here talking about agape and phileo and all that stuff, because I don't speak Greek. I speak English.
Amen.
The worldwide language of the last days. Right. People in China got to learn English. People in India got to learn English. People in Paris got to learn English. People in South America got to learn. If you want to do business in the world, guess what you got to learn? English. Amen. You want to get by in the world, guess what you got to learn? English. English. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. Some of y'all get ready for it. Y'all just take your deep breath. I don't want anybody getting sick to their stomach or anything like that. You all ready for it? He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then it must be important to find out where the Scripture is. Amen. Can I tell y'all this morning, I've sought it out. I've sniffed real good for it. I've dug around and studied for it. And I'm just about ready to say, I believe I can say with some certainty this morning, I've found the Scriptures. I've got God's book. And this King James Bible that I preach to you from, this precious King James Bible that I hold in my hand, it is God's inspired Word. It is God's preserved Word. And Jesus said, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know what that means to me? I can have hope in this book. So, oh, preacher, what if I took it and I burn it? That's all right. I've got a little bit of it in here. I can quote a little bit of it from these lips right here, just enough to maybe get me by until I get up there to heaven. Hey, I believe maybe between some of us in here, we could probably still hold service if we didn't have a Bible in our hand, could we? Because thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? What I'm telling you this morning, friend, is when those mountains out there on the horizon, those smoky mountains here in Knoxville, Tennessee, when those mountains are flattened out just like a pancake, this King James Bible will still be God's Word, and it will still stand. Hey, when that sun up there in the sky that's heating up the earth's atmosphere, keeping us all nice and toasty, when that sun has done burn out and gone by the wayside and God has wiped away the heavens like a scroll, this Bible I'm preaching from will still be there. Hey, friend, when all the stars have put out their light and the moon has turned to sackcloth and turned to blood, when God has wiped away the heavens that now are and has created a new heavens and a new earth, this same Bible will still stand. It will still be as good. It will still be as inspired. It will still be as pure. It's the everlasting and eternal Word of God. I've got hope in this. Don't mess with it. Don't come complaining about me. Don't come complaining about it to me. I ain't going to hear you. Hey, don't come falsely accusing it of having any mistakes. It's been around over 400 years now. Not one mistake has ever stuck on this book. Not one false claim has ever stuck against that book. And I've got hope this morning in His Scriptures. Yeah. I'm going to say this. I'm going to move on. This Bible right here, I got to thinking about this thing this week. You know what I got to thinking about? If the Lord don't come back real soon, I'm going to die. One of the hardest things a man go through is being confronted with his own mortality. And yet every single person in here, if Jesus don't come back real quick, every last one of us is going to get confronted with it right up to the face. I got to thinking this week, if the Lord don't come back, I'm going to die. And the money in my bank account ain't going to do me any good. I can't take one cent of it with me. Somebody said, speaking of a millionaire, they said, how much did he leave behind? And they said, everything. He leave everything. Hey, old Solomon, I believe it was Solomon, said over there, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Hey, friend, listen, you can't take your clothes, you can't take your friends, you can't take your money, you can't take your house, you can't take your nice car, you can't take any of your education, you can't take any of that with you. When you're dead, you are D-E-A-D, dead. They might make monuments for you out there in downtown Knoxville, they might build a statue, but for you, that isn't going to do one thing. You're dead. And yet this morning, do you know what I'm holding in my hand? Let me just quote what Jesus said to you one more time. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I tell you what I'm holding right now. Now, I've got a soul inside my body that's eternal. It is, but I can't touch it. I can't see it. I can't feel it. But it's in there according to the Bible. I've got a spirit that's going to return to God when I die, and it's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't do any of that. But you know what? I've got this book. It's all ratty. It's kind of worn out and torn. I mean, it's got some smudges and some fingerprints and some ripped pages and some ink smudges, everything else on it. And yet this crazy looking book here that I'm just all torn up, don't look like anything much. This thing right here, after your money's gone, and your house is gone, and your body's done gone, and they've already said their farewells to you, this same book will stand.
Yes.
I can have hope come Wednesday. You say, why? Because I've still got my Bible. Even if they take it from me, I still got it.
Amen.
It's still going to stand. I've got hope in His Scriptures. I've got hope in His salvation. And I want to say this, and I'm done this morning. I've got hope in His second coming. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's not Morgan Lester that said that. Listen, if Winston Churchill had said that, that wouldn't do you any good. He's dead. If Charlemagne had said that to his father, it wouldn't matter. He's dead. They can find his bones. He's powder. And yet Jesus, not one bone has been found. Not one little inkling of DNA has been found. They keep on coming out every few years saying, oh, we've got the tomb, we've got it. Now, they've never found the tomb. Can't even figure. And if they ever did find the tomb, they wouldn't find anything in it.
Amen.
The Bible said, He's not here, He is risen. No. Amen. And you say, well, why then can you have such hope? Though the world seems to be burning, though everything seems to be crumbling, though the world seems so hopeless, where can you find hope, Christian? I'll tell you where. This world is not my home, and one who lives forevermore has said, I will live with Him, and He's coming for me. I'm telling you, friend, that Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, what's your hope in? My hope is in the fact that He's coming again. He's coming to take me home. He's coming to give me a new body. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And I have hope in His second coming. So I believe that's where we get astray. Churches, people all around this world are guilty of it. You know what we're guilty of? Trying to make this world a better place. Can I just be honest with you? I'm for helping poor folks. I ain't for helping lazy folks, but I'm for helping poor folks. Some of y'all, The Bible says if a man won't work, he's not to eat. You too lazy to put in a little bit of work, earn some money, you can just go ahead and starve to death. Amen. Well, I don't like that. Well, you know, you won't have to worry about it too much longer. You ain't going to make it. So, see, I'm for helping poor folks. The Bible says we ought to help them. We ought to help those poor folks. I'm for helping people in need. I'm for being there for those who are hurting, going through trials. I'm not saying I'm against helping people and being there for people. By all means, that's something a Christian ought to do. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're talking about making this world a better place to live in, that ain't our business. That ain't what we got signed up for. That ain't my job, Brother Gary. Ain't it. I can't do it, wouldn't do it, don't even want to do it. This world is a sinful, rotten place that's set on course, set on fire of hell. And I tell you what, this world ain't our home. And yet, you know what I see? I see a lot of charities out there. Oh, well, just give, just make the world a better place. Just take care of this problem. That ain't going to solve the problem. You might put a little patch on the problem, put a little Band-Aid on it, but you ain't solving the problem. The problem is sin.
Amen.
The problem is men are not right with God, and they need to be made right with God. I hear a lot of churches, we're going on a medical missions trip. Go give them, you know, they're going to go down there and give them a vaccine, but are afraid to give them the gospel. By the way, I ain't one bit against giving them the vaccine as long as you give them the gospel too. But if all you going down there is curing their sicknesses and helping them out with their diseases, but you ain't doing anything for their soul, it ain't missions and it ain't the Lord's work. Amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all done jumped off the ship a little while ago. That's all right. We'll put out a life preserver at the end. What I'm saying to you this morning is our work is not a temporary work. It's not an earthly work. Our work is a heavenly work and an eternal work. We're not seeking to make this world a better place to go to hell from. We're seeking to make men who are headed for hell, to bring them the gospel so they can receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it'll change their eternity. Give them a home in heaven. Now, I want to make something very clear to you. I have hope not because I think this world's going to get any better. As a matter of fact, can I be honest with you? You can say, oh, ye of little faith to me all you want, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what I believe. I believe it's going to get worse. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I believe it's going to get worse. So that's a hopeless preacher. I mean, what a negative, pessimistic, awful kind of... I couldn't live if I thought that way. I'm right there with you if it wasn't for Jesus. See, but I'll tell you where my hope comes from. When I wake up on Wednesday morning, don't matter who the president is, don't matter if we started World War III, don't matter if the bombs are raining down over our heads, can I tell you where I'm going to get some hope from? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And one of these days, Jesus is going to call out my name. One of these days, I'm going to see Him face to face. I'm going to look into His eyes. I'm going to see the nail prints in His hands and in His feet. I'm going to be given a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. I'm telling you, friend, I have hope this morning in His second coming. We're going to get ready to have a time of invitation here in a moment. But let me just say one thing and I'm done. That ain't all of His second coming, though. See, yes, He's coming in the clouds to receive me to Himself. But one of these days, a little while later, you know what He's going to do? He's going to set one foot down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to come on down through those clouds and keep on coming. He's going to set that other foot down on the Mount of Olives. And that thing's going to split right down through the middle over there in Zechariah 14. You check me up on it later if you want to. And when He plants those feet, He's going to walk right through that eastern gate. And He's going to sit down there on the throne in Jerusalem. And the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One of these days, His second coming is going to be He's coming back not to be the lamb, but to be the lion. Not to be run over, but to reign. And I say to you, friend, praise God, I've got hope. Because I'm going to rule and reign with Him as one of His own. In Isaiah chapter 9, it gives a prophecy regarding both the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. It begins by saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That's His first coming. But you ready for the second coming? "And the government shall be upon His shoulder. and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You say, what's going to fix America's problem? I'll tell you what it is. Jesus coming back. Say, what's going to fix this whole thing? I mean, look at this election. Look at all that's going on. What's going to take care of it? What's going to solve the problem? I tell you what, Christians going and giving the gospel and getting people saved. That'd do a whole lot to fix it. Say, what's going to solve the problem? If we get in the scriptures, His scriptures, and read them and study them and obey them. What's going to solve this world's problems? I'll tell you what, when the right king gets on the throne. And he ain't Donald Trump. And he ain't Hillary Clinton. He ain't anybody walking around on this planet right now. He's the one sitting at the right hand of the throne on high. And when he comes and he reigns, the problems will get solved. I believe this morning as God's people, we betray our testimony when we worry and we fret over world events, over elections, over politics. You may disagree with me, but I'm telling you what I believe this morning. I believe when we run in fear saying, oh no, what if he gets elected? Or oh no, what if she gets elected? We show the world we have no faith in our God. I want to make one thing real clear to you this morning. Wednesday morning you're going to wake up and some wicked person is going to be president of the United States of America. Some wicked, ungodly, reprobate, lost person is going to be in the highest office of this land. That sounds pretty hopeless. It seems pretty hopeless. But the great truth is our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in chariots. It's not in horses. But we must remember the name of the Lord our God. This morning I want to encourage you. We're going to get ready to sing here in a moment. But I want to do this invitation a little bit different. All who would come and pray for this nation, I'd ask you to come this morning. If you would be willing to come and say, Lord, pray, Lord, heal our land. Lord, bring us to a place of repentance. Lord, be merciful to us as a people. I'd ask you to come this morning. But I don't want you to stop praying there. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for your family. I want you to pray for this church. That in, no matter what happens, that we would walk by faith in our God. No matter what happens, we'd put our hope in Him and maintain our testimony out there. Would you come pray? You don't have to wait for the singing. You don't have to wait for anything. You come on down if you'll pray for this nation. Don't do it for show, but if God is leading you, if you see the need, if you see it, come pray about it. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for these you've brought down. I pray now, God, you would heal our land. You would draw people unto you, Lord. I believe the time is short. I believe your coming is soon. Oh, God, may we draw nigh unto thee. Oh, God, may you revive us, Lord, even if it's not as a nation, Lord. Would you revive us here at Ball Road? Would you revive us here in East Tennessee? Oh God, I pray in these days, Lord, as dark as it is, that we would be able to shine as a light in the midst of the darkness. We might keep our eyes on Jesus and keep our hope in you. Lord, thank you for all you're doing. Ask it in Jesus' name. As we sing, if you haven't come already, why don't you come?